Blog Talk Radio.
Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and welcome to the No Chaser Show. I am your host, JT. Jerry is my name, and I'm joined, as always, with my co-host, and I'm going to have him give the honors of introducing our guest. Our host of this show is Mac Williams. Welcome, Mac. How you been?
What's up? What's up? What's up, everybody? Hey, I just wanted to let everybody know we are here 7 p.m. every Friday. Give them the number where they can call in, Jerry, because you know.
The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll give that to you again, 347-637-3220.
All right. But, yeah, we have a great guest on today. but before I introduce our guest, I just want to say just an opening remark. And the one remark I do want to say is, number one, Vegas was fantastic. It was off the chain, off the hook. It was great. I actually got to spend 3 hours watching Floyd Mayweather train at the Boxing Club. Loved it. Had fun. Floyd Mayweather Sr. is a fool. Had me cracking up laughing the whole time. Great people. If you are ever in Vegas and you get the pleasure of going to the Mayweather Boxing Gym, please go by. Can't say you'll always get in because them big boy bodyguards be outside and you got to know somebody. But and you can't toss my name around because I know some people, but some of the people I don't know that well. So, but when you get inside, great people treat you good like family. Whether they know you or not, they let you in. They're really nice people, man, just good people. And I want to, you know, give a shout-out to Floyd Mayweather for letting me come back and watch the training for Floyd Sr., for P. Rilla, who will be on our show in the next 3 weeks. That's the CEO of Floyd Mayweather's Filthy Rich Records. And to Elisa Abs, who is, like, the best, like, the toughest white girl I've ever met, like, in really, like, box. But anyway, I digress. I just want to say thanks to them. Today, tonight, right now, I have on a very good friend of mine, and he has agreed to come on the show, and I really appreciate him coming.
Yes, we do.
And this is the CEO of one of the hottest leagues in Washington, D.C. area, the DMV, and the only guy I know who has a league this late at night and up late at night, the CEO of the Piss League, Robert Pettis. Pettis, glad to see you. Thanks for coming on the show. I really, really appreciate you being on here, brother.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, so this brother been doing it for how long has the Piss League been going now?
This should be the fourth year.
Fourth year. So they're young.
Yeah,
they just started. Okay. We're gonna have to have something when he gets to the number 10. By that time we'll probably all be dead and gone. But anyway.
Hopefully not.
We'll still be around talking to Pettis.
Nah, we'll still be here.
Exactly. No, I'm talking about us, the old people. I ain't talking about you.
Exactly.
Yeah, you don't.
Nah, but I know I'll be around. But I just wanted to start by saying, you know, I appreciate you coming on the show. I've been wanting to get you on for a while, but it's been kind of a, you know, I've always got guests coming at me tomorrow. I want to provide and get on. And you're one of the hottest leagues that I know of and up that late at that time of the night. You start at 10 p.m. And how many games do you have a night?
Two.
Okay, you have two games a night. And what days do you have it? Monday through
Monday through Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah. And the first week will be Tuesday through Friday because it's Memorial Day Monday, so it'll be that Tuesday. We'll start that Tuesday.
Okay. And can you tell us a little bit about yourself? And what I mean by that is, tell us where you went to school at, grew up, and then. Kind of tell us how you started this. What made you start this? And, you know, just give everybody a background of what, you know, how did Robert Pettis start and start this this phenomenon called the Piss League?
Okay, let's see. I went to high school at Largo High School in Largo, Maryland.
Okay.
Prince George's County.
Okay.
Then after graduating there, I ended up going to JUCO, Montgomery, Germantown. I did 2 years there. Then I graduated from there and transferred to Emporia State. I'm in Kansas, the Detroit, Kansas. And so, yeah, I traveled around.
Yeah, you went country.
And, yeah, we're no. You can't explain it. It's half country. It's really country.
That's terrible. He said past country. Oh, wow. But at least you're a well-rounded young man, though. You realize, hey, there are crazy people outside of our place.
No, yes, and I realize that there are more crazy people out there than I thought that were here.
Okay. And what happened from there?
From there on, like I said, now I'm back home. You're just, working right now, finishing up, trying to get my bachelor's in business management at Stevenson University. I gave my collegiate career, too many politics for me, and I'd rather just deal with it behind doors than dealing with, people jeopardizing my, playing with my life.
I got
as player and coach. So I just, I just forfeited my final year of my college career and just came back home and just, finished school, ready to graduate. The Piss League started off of Twitter rants of going back and forth of, high school, opponents of mine to, rival schools, going back and forth, talking about, we beat y'all by 30 back in the day, we beat y'all by 10, y'all shouldn't have beat us here, we should have went to states, this is and that. So, it was ongoing rant back and forth for, probably 3 months, and I was just I was like, okay, really, are we really talking about this right now? Run and shoot shut down, so we can't go to run and shoot. We can't go to run and shoot like we used to. Like say, when it snowed, and games were canceled, we would go to run and shoot and settle it. Official. It was an official. It was an official game, a real official season game, but we still went. We got our eight, they got their eight. We still played. We played. That's what we did. That back in the day. So now. Like I said, a lot of the people still play. So my whole thing is, okay, y'all keep talking about it, then be about it. Let's do it. So it started out as a alumni league. We had eight teams, the eight local teams from the area, and it started off like that. Then the following year, it progressed to an open. I was going to do two divisions, an open division and an alumni division. A lot of alumni really didn't want to play with the teams because it's like, okay, well, they're not in shape. But I have a team that I play with out here. I want to bring them on. How can I play without my alumni team? So basically, I end up opening it up for everybody, and it being an open division, and that's how it just goes on from there and go from there.
Wow, that from a Twitter rant.
And my question is this: how old were you when you officially started this league?
How old was I? Oh, yeah. 4 years ago. Jeez, 22.
Wow.
You're kidding. Wow. You're kidding me.
Yep. The one thing I know about Pettis is a very enterprising person and a very, he's a laid back guy, but he's always thinking. That's what I know about him. He's always thinking. And, when I wasn't surprised when he started it because I was like, shoot. I was like, I would, if it was my dream, I would have started that too. I mean, in the DMV area, I don't think we could ever get to where there's too many leagues. When you're talking about D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, it's deep. You could do leagues forever. And Pettis will tell you, out here they do a lot of rec leagues.
Everywhere you go, it's gonna be a league, And yep. The difference is the quality of players, the quality of refs, the quality of fans, and it's just different qualities everywhere you go. That kind of break down where everybody goes. What's the buzz? What's buzzing here? What's buzzing here? Mm-hmm. The fans will talk about it. Basketball lovers will talk about it. If your league's not going good, they're not going to show you no support.
Right, exactly.
Go ahead,
Jerry.
And is your league specifically an indoor league, or is it outdoor, or what?
A lot of my you know, teammates, they really can't play outdoors anymore.
Okay.
So I kind of you know, instead of them just working out all season, I'd rather them come inside and play indoors.
Well, you call them old. You calling them old? You calling them old?
No, it's not old.
It's bad on the knees.
Concrete's bad on the knees, and a lot of my friends, I'm just joking.
Yeah, I know that.
They're old. Because like say back in the, like say when we were in high school, we play outside all day.
Right.
You know, so you know now they're learning their bodies and they're trying to take care of their bodies. It's like, okay, I can't be playing outdoors like I once anymore. You know, I need somebody to go inside. Okay, well.
And he's right. He's very right. And that's why I said his league. But like I said, I tell people even now, you know, people be like, you know, who don't, either don't know the Piss League or ask me about it. I say, well, the Piss League is an indoor league, and it's late night. I call it the late night league, but I say, but it's indoor. And I was telling somebody, I said, you know, and you know, this year, about a couple years ago, the Goodman started doing the indoor league on the weekend.
Right.
And I'm glad there's a league like the Piss League during the week, because if you ask Pettis, he'll tell you, the NBA guys especially, the guys everybody wants to see, who may not play outdoor at the Goodman will play late night. You can see them late night at the Piss League.
Mm-hmm.
And then vice versa, most of the NBA guys on the weekends will play in the indoor league for Goodman, who won't play outdoor at the Goodman. Or you'll get some that play both. So between the two leagues, you'll usually get the same guy, you know, all the time that'll play here, play here, play there. And, I mean, Pettis can tell you, in this area, you got guys, you think you're talking about coming from the Goodman and going to play his league. Pettis, tell them how many games these guys probably play a day, how many leagues they play during the day.
They probably play four or five games in a day.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. So in a week you're talking probably twenty games. And that's
what?
20 or more games, and you're talking about Sunday to Saturday.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they also work out in the mornings.
Exactly.
So they probably work out twice in the morning and go from there. So you're talking about people that's gonna play all day, just play.
Yeah. And this goes on the regular, because I didn't realize until I looked. I think I asked Shaq one day. I said, "What'd you do today?" He was like, "Oh yeah, I went over to Watts, played over at Watts, came back, played the late night, the 8 o'clock game at the Goodman, left, and then went and gone to play at the Pitts League, and that was his day." I mean, I was like, "That's absolutely crazy." And we're not even talking about what's the one up at Georgetown. What's the league up at Georgetown?
The Kenner League.
The Kenner League. We're not even talking about the Kenner League that's up there too. So. You know, but like I said, I love the Piss League because, like I said, it's late night, and I think he's great because you got everybody all to yourself. I mean, he got an audience all to himself. Like, by that time, Pettis don't have to worry about competing with nobody. It's like,
right.
No other league
right.
out. It's like, this is where everybody's going to be at.
Right.
And I ain't got to worry about people showing up, because people going to show up. Might show up late, but they'll show up. And he has great crowds. I mean, KD, Kevin Durant has played in your league. Name all the people who played in your league, because I've come down there and seen them.
Sam Young.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana. Navarro Bowman.
Mm-hmm. From the 49ers.
Really?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. Who else has played? Oh.
You got KD. You got, I don't know if Dante Green played with y'all. I don't know
Dante,
if Marcus,
no, Dante, no. Oh,
DeMarcus Cousins played with
y'all? Thomas Robinson.
Yep.
Thomas Robinson, you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Thomas Robinson played. We have a lot more overseas and NCAA,
mm-hmm.
Probably NCAA names. A couple of kids from Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah Swan from Florida State.
Yep.
Donnell Dawson. Donnell Dawson. He went to the University of Kentucky with John Wall.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Allman. He lit Kentucky up for 35 points, all threes, and Calipari today is probably the best shooter you ever seen, ever.
Yep.
Chris Howard.
You got a lot of guys down there.
Well, tell me this.
Jeff Allen.
Navarro Bowman is a big guy. He's a linebacker. tough guy. Wait a minute. He's a big guy. He plays in the NFL, and he's one of the Pro Bowl player. what kind of player is Navarro Bowman on the basketball court as
Navarro
big as his
Bowman
ass is?
As a sophomore in high school, he was that big, and he was a bully. He's a point guard. I had to check Navarro Bowman in high school.
What?
And
what?
He was that big.
What?
So
I'm laughing, yeah.
He's a bully. I mean, he's a bully. He's a big guard that you like, you know, that you're trying to, you know, that he will back you down. He's Mark Jackson. He'll be Mark Jackson the whole time. He will walk you down the court and back you down, and you try to take him, you can't because he's so big and you're trying to reach around him. You can't.
But he's a guard.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a guard. Yeah,
But he can play other positions because I know at the Goodman when Navarro Bowman played was during the year of the lockout, the NFL lockout.
Okay.
Not to say he hasn't played at Pitts League before that, because I don't know if he's played there before, but I know when I saw him was when the NFL had the lockout for that summer. And
right.
He came down and played at the Goodman Indoor, and I knew he played at the Pitts League.
Right.
At the Pitts League, you know, I know he, like I said, I know Pettis knows him. And when I saw him, he was playing other positions. But, yeah, and the funny thing is he's very athletic. Like, he's not like he's a bully, yeah. He knows how to use his body. But, you know, you'd be surprised at how good he is. You'd be surprised. Like, he's not like a bum at all. Like, a guy, you just figure he's just out there just knocking people down like bowling.
He's a winner. You can see it. When he plays, he directs. Like in the football field, that linebacker, he's directing on the court. Because, it's just IQ. Just knowing the game of, you know, sports, period. Just knowing the game, trying to win and feeling your team to win. And just, you know, get that last rebound, something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shoot. Mike Beasley played, because I remember the game they
right,
played.
Right, Mike Beasley plays on your, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. So, for me, have you had John Wall yet, have you?
No, I haven't had John Wall.
You
no,
did?
But John Wall. No, I haven't.
You haven't. Okay. I know that I compared what I was waiting for when Bowman was playing. What I was waiting for was him and Shaq to go at each other, but that never happened. I was secretly asking.
Yeah, it never happened, but I guess the next battle was him and Boo Jackson. him and Boo went at it, and that was interesting.
Wow. Really?
That's strength on strength. Yeah, and Boo tried to push him, and Navarro didn't budge.
Boo Jackson is who the commissioner of the Goodman calls affectionately Ray Lewis.
Ray Lewis.
Because he looks like Ray Lewis in the face. He does.
Really?
And that's what he called him, Ray Lewis. But, Pettis got a competitive league. I mean, the only reason why I don't make it down there that often, I have a couple times, only maybe like 2 times in the 4 years he's been there, and I can honestly tell you the only reason why is because I'd be so tired from what I'm doing at the Goodman and everything. By the time I get to his place, I'm like, man, I'm going to bed. You know, I'd be like, I'm going to sleep. But
mm-hmm.
I know I've made a conscious decision this year to really, like, get over there, like, more games. Because when I see the pictures and I see, you know, and I hear what people are talking about, I know they're good games. Because I hear all the time, boy, did you hear Kevin Durant came in there and gave him 50 last night? I'm like, where? It's like Pitts League. I'm like, oh, man, I should have went. You know, so, I mean, his league is hot. It's really, really hot. Pettis, I wanted to ask you, tell people what you're doing over at Largo. I know you have a camp, and I didn't know if you wanted to promote your camps or whatever you're doing over at Largo High School, because that's where you play the games at. I know right now your floors are tore up because they're putting in a new gym floor.
Yes,
but we're
getting the floor.
I just want you to let everybody know what you do, because I know you and I think Lonnie Harrell have, player training?
We do player training, you know, on the weekends, Saturdays and Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
And we just do fundamentals, and we work within their means. Whatever you need your strengths on, you know, if it's dribbling, we're working on your dribbling until you can dribble with, you know, consciously. Your shooting, your moves, like whatever you lack at, that's what we're strengthening. Like it's not just trying to do everything. Whatever your weaknesses are, that's what we're strengthening. You know what I mean? We just play. We just play. You know, and you know, let flow of emotion just go. You know, a lot of game movement. Just
and
it,
with
it,
that,
is,
mm-hmm. and with that,
it's kind of repetitive.
And with that, what age level are you talking about?
From seven to pros. Like we've had some pros to come here. You know, I mean, we go all ages.
Wait a minute, you're telling me you're teaching fundamentals to pros?
Well, Lonnie has some tricks. I don't teach them, you know, but Lonnie has tricks for days, and
right,
they work. So, you know, some pro overseas players ask him for insight because some
right.
of his moves still work to this day. He's the only person
right.
I know that shoots a backboard free throw shot. Anywhere. Indoor, outdoor, wherever, and it goes in. So it's just like, it's just certain things that they like of his game that they just want to take from, you know, certain moves that he has, you know, it's just certain things about, you know, about his game that people like and they want to take from.
But I wanted to ask you, what's the next step for the Piss League? And the reason why I'm kind of asking you this is because I've kind of, like, talked to you before and been behind the scenes of what you guys are doing, so I'm trying to give you a chance to really promote what the pro, you know. So tell us, what is it that you want to do and your idea and your dream and what's your next thing to further the Piss League? Because I know you're more than just a basketball tournament. You want to do other things. You want to do things, take sports and do – you want to take what you're doing right now and spread it out and do more things with it. So if you could just expound on, you know, what you want to do, you know, what do you think? I mean, what are you thinking? And what are you planning? Things like that.
You know, in probably the next 2 or 3 years, we're trying to take this to Vegas and do a money tournament and give back to charities. I would love to see at least two teams from each state or something or a city just come and compete. And just compete and play, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A neutral location that everybody wants to go to and just play. And I was like, growing up, there was so many, like, exposure tournaments, you know. Like, I remember playing against J.R. Smith. I remember playing against, what's the receiver for, was Minnesota just got traded to, what is it?
Percy Harvin.
I remember playing against Percy Harvin and, you know, going and seeing them play, you know. It's just getting that back, you know, getting that back together, because a lot of these tournaments, you know, exposure for everybody, you know. You know, because it's all about networking and connections. You know, so everybody,
mm-hmm.
about that one big break. Well, I mean, if you bring 50 teams to a big round robin tournament, and somebody's liable to get picked up for somewhere.
Exactly. Right.
Just networking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, playing for money, you know, but it's not gambling wise. We're just like giving back to the community, you know. Say it's a Boys and Girls Club, adult Boys and Girls Club playing for something, you know, and they need money for equipment. If they win, that money goes to a good cause.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, this is big. You know, this, I just wanted to, like, expand it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's
what you want to do this year. Because I think you said you wanted to start a foundation and some other things and things like that. What I wanted to know is, even though you're taking this to Vegas and taking it somewhere else, I wanted to ask you, what are the pros of doing this, of what do you like best about doing this league? And what is something that, if you had to pick one thing that you don't like about doing the league?
A pro of doing the league and a con league.
What is your best? What do you like best about being a CEO of the or commissioner of the Piss League? And what is the one thing you say you wouldn't like? You don't like about it? It could be as simple as picking up garbage after the game, cleaning the gym up after the game. I mean, I'm just asking just to, you know, get a perspective on what it's like.
What I like about it is. Everybody gets to play against everybody, and, you know, and people come out and just play. They don't say, like, our slogan is bring your A game, not your name.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say, I don't care. Like, say, Kevin Durant comes in there. No, they're not scared to play against Kevin. Everybody just comes to play to show that talent, because you're actually put on blast when you come there. Now, if you get embarrassed, you would get blasted on social media that whole week. I mean, that's it that night. That whole week, they'll just keep going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I just like the competitive. I just like, you know, that there's no politics to it. You know what I mean? I think that's the best part about it, is no politics to it, because it's like, I don't cater to anyone. You know what I mean? And it's hard not to cater to athletes. Let's just say this. It's hard not to cater to people, you know, that deserve it.
Exactly.
You know, it puts everybody on the same slate. You know, everybody's equal, and you know, just come and play and do what you love and enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
What I hate about it.
It doesn't have to be hate. Just the part that you may not like about it. But you know, I don't like doing that or what have you.
As of right now, time consuming, because I kind of don't get to spend enough time with my daughter as I want.
During the summer, you saying?
But during the summer, like in the nighttime. Once I leave work, I'm going straight to Larda.
Right, to prepare and get ready.
I'll stay here for probably like, you know, an hour or two. But, I mean, she knows, she loves basketball, so when she's in the gym with me.
Okay.
But it's just a lot of running around. But that's probably the only thing I hate about it, isn't it, you know?
Okay. And let me ask you this. I know there are some other leagues in the area, and one of my guys, he always really a good guy, and I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's called the Rich City League. My man Devon, he always supports me, and he's the CEO of a league up there. So what I wanted to know is, since my man, he has a thing up there called Rich City, the Rich City League up in Richmond, Virginia. So I know he's listening to the show, because I see on here he's listening to the show. So what I wanted to ask you is, as a young guy who's starting a league up in Richmond, who's been up there for a few years, can you give advice or give words of wisdom to a aspiring person or somebody who's already doing it or maybe who's just starting like you? What kind of advice would you give for a person who wants to start a league or whatever? What would you give, you know, as far as your advice, if they came to you and said, "Hey, man, Pettis, you know, I saw your success. You know, what should I do? You know, what's the thing I need to know?" So I'd be interested in hearing what you would tell that person.
Well, one thing, it's not easy. I can say I've taken losses. 3 years, I've taken losses. I mean, but you have to, you know, understand that you have to take losses to get where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, stay on your ground. You know, so you're like, your friends, like your, you know, your buddies, they'll take advantage of you more than strangers will.
Mm-hmm.
So at least make sure you keep it business and personal. Make sure you know how to split the two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you do that and you put your foot down about everything,
mm-hmm.
everything runs smooth.
Okay.
It's just holding your ground and letting them know that you have to run a business just like, you know, if they want to be serious about their basketball career or whatever, it's the same thing. Like, you go to work, I'm your boss, but after that, we cool. But when we at work.
Right.
Like, basically, if you want to do this is basically my job. This is what I want to do. So basically, respect my place like I will respect you if it will become your job.
Right. Exactly. Okay.
So basically, just hold your ground and just be willing to do anything for your league.
Okay. And be a man of your word. I think that's one thing, because I think that's a big thing.
That's an unwritten law. You gotta be a man of your word. You gotta be trustworthy.
Yeah, because people won't trust you.
Yeah. At all.
Yeah. And you also I know from one thing. Yeah. You can give ear to people, like listen to them, but when you make your decision, you got to make it firm, and you can't let people control you. And when, you know, once people think that they can control you or make you get what they want out of you, I think that's when you fall victim to a lot of trouble.
If they're upset about it, they'll get over it, because they realize at the end of the day, it's for the best. It's not just to single you out. It's just for the best of whatever the moment is.
Exactly. You had any questions, Jerry?
No, go ahead. You're doing great.
Okay. No, I just didn't want to blot you out. I wanted you to know.
No.
The other thing is, let me ask you this, Pettis. Who is the Who's the toughest person? Who's the best player in your league? That's a good one. I've always wanted to ask you that. And I know it puts you on the spot, and I know people who are listening will go like, man, say my name or whatever. So I just want you to sweat early right now so then all summer you can hear about it. But, you know, no, I'm just kidding. I'll let you off
the hook. I won't hear about it because, like, the only person that the person that gave me the most grief would not be with me this summer. And that's the only person that gave me grief every night. He would call my phone 24/7, ask me how many points he had. Irritated me to death.
Yeah. Cool.
How many points he had? So this year, last year, the best player, it's up in the air. It's the NBA because you know you have your Kobe's, you have your players. You just have your moment players. I really don't. They're different. No one's the same. So it's hard to say who my best player is in the league.
Wow.
I give you the top five. I mean, I give you that.
I was about to do that until you started talking again about it, and I said, okay, I'm going to let him go. But I was going to ask you, who are your top five guys in the Pitts League? Who are your top five players?
With no numbers.
You don't have to put them in a certain order.
Yeah. No, with no numbers, except to say Corey Allman. Shaq. Sam. Sam's played every year I've had. So Sam, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Donnell Dawson.
Yeah, he's a sleeper.
And I would have to throw Boo in there between Boo and Lil Dama. I would have to throw those. Like those are probably the hungriest five people that come every night with no problem.
Wow, and they really compete. Because I've been in there. When I've been in there, it's like I don't know how to say it, Jerry. When I've been in the gym, I've seen it's crazy. Like I've seen KD. Sam Young, Baby Shaq, Boo Jackson, all on the floor at the same time.
Playing 2-on-2 on a 5-on-5 game.
Yeah. But, I've seen, I'm talking about the game. Just
yeah,
seen
I know.
Them out.
They play 2-on-2 with three other people on the court.
Everybody
on the court just wanted to watch the court play.
It's bananas. It's 5-on-5, but it's really right. He's really right. And I've gone in there and been like, man, this is bananas. Like, this is stuff that nobody knows is going on except the people that are here.
Right.
And that's the crazy part because you're like, y'all reporting on ESPN about what happened in the games. Slim, you don't know about the games that you never see that don't happen, you know. And it's amazing to see it, you know. So... You know, I've enjoyed it thoroughly, but yeah, you're right. I mean, having those guys in there, every time I come in there, it's bananas. It's like, man, these dudes, and they run up and down the court like it's just, like it's a day at the park. Just, you know, it's crazy. But, you know, I enjoy the league a lot. And when do you guys start this year?
May 28th.
May 28th you start. Okay.
Yep. Tuesday, May 28th.
And you go all the way till when?
July 18th.
Okay, and you'll have your playoffs and everything, and then everything will be over by the 18th, you're saying? Or is that just the 18th? Okay.
No, everything will be done by the 18th because I need my vacation. Because that 2 months right there is the longest 2 months of my life.
I believe you because I don't know if I told you. I know if I told Jerry this, I told people, but it's like I work for the Goodman and, you know, and I do all I do for them, you know, with the website and coaching two or three teams. Then when there's indoor, it's like even more. By the time I get to the end of August, I'm like, man, I hate the Goodman. I'm ready for it to be over. I'm sick of it. I'm ready to be free of it. It always goes in that cycle. But then it's funny because as soon as it gets close to that time of the month, you get excited again. You're like, okay, I'm ready to go again. You know, but I know exactly what you're going through when you say, you know, man, them the longest they are. They're the longest in the world. You're right. They're the longest months in the world. It feels like it's forever.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Let me ask you this question, Robert. Since you're the commissioner of the league, do you play in the league, or do you coach in the league, or you just run the league and that's it?
I play if needed. Let's say that. I play if
there's not enough guys.
If not enough guys, I hate playing alone.
Why?
I don't know. It's just like if David Stern played in his league, it's like if he played, like I think it'd be unfair. Because it's like in the day, I pay the refs. So if I get every call, oh, it's your league. You paid the refs.
I totally understand that.
Yeah, I don't put a team in the league. You know, I do know my original team that I played with my first year, you know, they still play. And unfortunately, they won the championship 2 years in a row. Not because of me. It's just because they were just better than everybody. I don't know.
And then you take the blame. Man,
Pettis
needs fixing it.
I blame all the time that I be cheating them. You know, oh, I pay the refs. No, I don't pay the refs. You guys pay the refs with your entry fee. I don't pay the refs. I pay them after you give me the money, but
exactly.
I don't pay the refs.
So, at the end of the league, when the champion is crowned, do they get money, trophy, or what's the reward?
Trophies. Because it's hard to do money because we do have some collegiate players that do play.
We do have some high school kids that do play.
You know, right. I mean, we're not fortunate enough to get the D1 player yet because we're not sanctioned. So we get, you know, we get our D2s, D3s, and AIA players. You know, because it's one guy who's there all the time who yells at me every day. He's there. Quinn Cook yells at me all the time. When are you getting your league sanctioned so I can play? I say, first of all, you're not playing no time soon. You can play when you make the league. You're not playing. But Quinn yells at me all the time. Need to get my league sanctioned. I'm like, okay.
He talked that trash, but he don't never. But I know the Goodman sanction. He don't bring his butt over there that much. He be talking about, no, I'm gonna stay in Carolina and play. I'd be like, okay. But then again, it could be an issue if he wants to play indoor as opposed to playing outdoor.
That too, and you know, especially with Nolan getting caught up with that one time playing that one game, that suspension. So it's kind of hard, you know, especially with Duke players. Let's say your top dog. Players. So it's kind of hard for them
That's what made us go get the sanctioning when we did. Was because of that incident. But I hope you get that NCAA sanctioning because it's nothing like feeling free that you can get anybody to come and play. And that adds a lot to it that you don't have to feel like I can't have this guy come and play because of that.
I've got 5 kids recruited from my league. That's illegal, but whatever. I mean,
how do you go about getting sanctioned? How do you get your league sanctioned? What's the step that you have to do, and how long is the process?
The process is, get insurance first. You know, get your insurance, and then you apply to the NCAA. I think it's like 6 to 7 months to put your application in and get a reply back.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's what it is.
I don't know because I know Miles did it, but I know it took a minute. But I know he had it done in about. I mean, I think he started one summer, and I know by the next summer it was done.
Yeah,
but
it's just on the 7 and make sure you know. And you know, once the sanction is all, it's just everything's open. You know, college coaches can come down there and watch. Kids, you know, their kids can play.
Mm-hmm.
Kids can get recruited. It's just so much easier when you have a sanctioned league.
And then you have to, but you do have to have, Jerry, just to answer your question, you do have to, even if you're a kid who wants to come and play, you still have to have a letter from your AD or from your coach.
To say you have to have giving permission.
You have to have that at least from them to say that it's okay for them to play. So you still need that also.
And once you get sanctioned once, do you have to renew the sanction every so often, or is that forever as long as you run the league the way you're supposed to?
I have no idea with that. He probably knows
that. It might be renewed every year. It might be renewed every year, you know, especially if you change location. So
okay.
You know, the insurance is because it's kind of based. It's kind of based off your insurance.
Okay.
Okay.
I know insurance we tried to get insurance last year. They won about $3,500.
Jeez.
Just for 2 months.
Jeez.
You know, and it covered up to $1 million, and you know, it was liability. You know, it made everybody was covered, but $3,500. That's basically my entrance. That's my entry fee from every team at the end of the day. So
wow.
if I end up paying $3,500, I might as well wreck myself.
Yeah, you might as well. Might as well start charging tickets too.
Hey, you know. And the bad part is, once you get sanctioned, you can't charge.
Nope.
I mean, I don't charge
anyway.
Already.
You can charge
anyway, but you know, it's just like once you get a sanction, you can't charge.
Right. Nope, you cannot. And I know that for a fact. So, you know, like I said, but the one thing I will say this though, you know, in our area, what I like a lot is that that Pettis is around. We have the Goodman, we have Watts, we have the Kenner. We have so many different leagues, and I'm glad for that, because you know, when I was coming up, we didn't have stuff like this. We didn't have, you know, a place where you go all summer and just play this. It was just a park, you know. And now you got, you know, where you have this, and I just think it's a good thing. I just think it's a good thing for everybody. But the Pitts League is
good for the area.
Yep.
Good for everybody.
Keeps a lot of people out. It keeps these kids out of trouble during the summer.
It keeps
even if they're just coming, even if they're just coming to watch, it just keeps them off the streets for a while. You know, it also gives them a chance to see an NBA player or a player they would never get to. They never may not have the money to, you know, their parents or somebody may not have the money to go take them to go see.
Right.
And they get to see them. And the one thing I think Pettis will attest to this is that, you know, I will say this. We have some really, really, really great pros, NBA guys in this area, because they're all accessible when they're there. It's not like bodyguards and get away from me, I don't want to talk to you. It's not. All of these guys are accessible. You can walk up to them, talk to them. Normal, everyday guys, very humble guys. Especially Kevin. Kevin will talk to anybody. I mean, he'll sit there and talk. He'll talk to you while he's playing. You know, even with the trash talkers, he'll talk right back to you. I mean, it ain't no anger, ain't no animosity. He's just going to play. And, you know, I think, you know, Pettis, you can speak more on that. But I know from what I've always seen, I know these guys and talk to them, you know, whatever, when they come home in the summer or through Facebook or whatever. And they're just normal, everyday guys. And, you know, and that's the good thing about the kids. The kids get to see them and talk to them, get an autograph or something that you don't ordinarily, these kids would never, ever be able to see these guys otherwise.
Yeah,
okay.
It's good for the kids. It's good. It's good for the player to get back in the community, especially the areas they grew up in, to show the kids that it's not hard to get to where you want to be if you're focused.
Mm-hmm.
It also, you know, helps the parents, you know, show kids, you know, you can be active in sports, you know, and do what you want to do. Let me put your mind to it. You know, it helps the parents out, the kids, you know, keeps them out of trouble. I say, but it also helps the referees out, because you know some referees inspire to be NBA refs. So
right.
You know, nine times I remember Kevin helps the refs out with calls.
Yep.
Like he's like in the league this is not a traveling league, this is not, you know, this is what it is, and you know, and it's also this learning, you know, it helps everybody out, you know.
I'm glad. Like I said, that's the thing I love about it.
So where do you get your refs from? What pool do you pull these refs from?
Abo. Basically, the high school officials in the area. The main board of this area is the Abo board. So I grabbed it from there, from my area.
Okay, that's great. Wanted to ask you a few questions about some other stuff outside of the Pitts. I mean, if there's anything you want to promote or want to mention, I mean, I'd be glad to let you put it up now. If not, I was going to ask you some sports questions. Who is your favorite team, your favorite NBA team?
I don't have one.
Wow.
I don't. I really don't have a favorite team.
So you really you like players?
I like entertainment. I like that. I like, you know, the competitive nature of, you know.
Okay.
I like.
Really?
I mean, I love watching.
You're a ball player, and you don't have a particular team that you root for?
No, I don't. This year, I enjoy watching. I enjoy to see the Clippers get back to where they were when Darius Miles and Clint Richardson started. I enjoy watching them. I do enjoy watching them. And when I got the chance to see them play when I went to L.A., they played Dallas. I enjoyed it. It was very entertaining.
Wow.
I've seen Miami play. I just like good basketball. I'm not biased with nothing. You know, if you're good, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, you win, you win.
Well, let me ask you this. Who's your favorite football team?
Arizona Cardinals.
Okay.
Wow. Really?
Okay, we got something there.
Arizona Cardinals.
Okay, always been that way since a kid, or have you ever?
No, I'm a West Brett. I've bounced around from West teams growing up. As a child, I was a 49er
fan. Oh, okay.
And then after that, I went to St. Louis. I went to St. Louis when they had, you know, Kurt Warner, Marshall Faulk.
Yeah, the greatest show on turf.
Yeah, I like entertainers. I like, you know, good sports.
Okay.
You know, and then once Kurt Warner left, that team broke up, I was done for a while. Then once Kurt Warner got their second chance, I went to Arizona. And so I've always been a Larry Fitzgerald fan since college. So that was the fit right there for me.
Okay.
So Once they got to where they were, you know, once Kurt Warner came along, he helped the team. I was like, yeah. Because, I mean, Kurt Warner, I like underdogs. Kurt Warner's an underdog. Second chance.
Absolutely.
Well,
I love underdogs.
Speaking of underdogs and speaking of the Arizona Cardinals, you know what I'm going to ask you. Who the hell is going to be the quarterback?
Man, I'm still trying to figure out why we wasted that money on Kevin Cobb in the first place. That's just me. I mean,
no, that ain't just you, because I said the same thing when he went over there. I was sitting
between,
like,
between Kevin Cobb and Matt Castle, those are the most hyped two quarterbacks at that time period, and they both got cut.
Let me say this since we're talking about this. The thing that irks me more than anything in the NFL is that they have these backups that they're backup for a reason. And it's like they have this magical ride for, like, it's not like they come in and they're like this for 2 years. They do this for like a game. Like the guy in Green Bay, he had one phenomenal game against the Lions. Now the Lions on my team. Where's the Lions? In Green Bay, in the tundra. Who's not going to have a good game? I understand the numbers were phenomenal, but my thing was, you gave a guy all this money off one game. And then with Castle and, like he said, Cobb, it wasn't like these guys did it for 2 years or so, like really proven. This was like a streak. And then they always end up overpaying them. And then in a year or two, they're like, oh, they were a washout. I'm like, why would you spend the money in the first place? I'm the same way. I'm like, that's stupid. These guys aren't 2 year proven guys. That's crazy. I mean, the eye test ain't that bad. And when I see with the eye test, I'm like, okay, that's today. What are you going to do next year? You know, because I always say a player, same thing in basketball. Basketball and football are kind of similar. You might surprise us the first year. After the first year, everybody know what's coming. So now they're going to adjust. Now I want to see what you're going to do. You said what?
It's called a scout report.
Exactly. There's
9 people critiquing every little thing that you do.
Mm-hmm.
There's a software now that everybody has, all the pros have,
that critique the every little thing you do. How many times you blink when you dribble? How many dribbles
wow.
do you take after a spin? They
wow.
critique it all the way down to the T. So, you know, we got killed this year. Sacks. We averaged probably 12 sacks a game against us.
Wow. Wow. I mean, for me, you know, I like I said, I don't understand it, but one of the last questions I do want to ask you is this: is who is do you watch? Do you watch baseball, or do you watch any? Or are you a golf person or anything like that? And I ask that only because you seem like you'd be a person that would take interest in that, because you know you're not the typical sports person.
The only sport that I've kept up with my childhood team, I am a Seattle Mariners fan.
There you go. How about that one?
Wow.
There?
Wow. I am absolutely amazed. An Arizona Cardinal fan and a baseball Seattle Mariner fan. Now, I got to ask you, way out in the Pacific Northwest, you pick a team that's, I mean, you can't get any further than that Northwest, basically. Why the Seattle Mariners? Where did that come from?
Ken Griffey Jr., Alex Rodriguez, Edgar Martinez.
This boy is affected from his childhood.
Young,
okay.
Like I say, young Gunners. That was the best team I've seen. They competed with the Yankees and got swept by the Yankees, but they were all young. And once they left the Mariners, they all became all-stars. I mean, they were all-stars there, but they became actual Hall of Famers.
Wow. So you pretty much stuck with everybody from your childhood or your teenhood all the way up, and you're still there, which I'm glad to see, because I'm so sick and tired of these people jumping around from team to team and at a whim. I'm about sick of that, because I'm just waiting for the day. I'm waiting. I'm literally sitting in my chair waiting for the day that LeBron James leaves the Miami Heat and jumps to the next team and leaves them. And I just want to see, I'm going to make every Miami Heat fan life miserable, because I'm going to find out, we're going to find out who their next team that they're going to like. And I'm going to remind every last one of them, but you a Miami Heat fan. That's what
you said. Everybody was a Cleveland fan.
But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't believe, I want to say this to you. I believe that they were Cleveland fans, but I don't think it was not to this degree.
Oh, no, never.
The way they are Heat fans was never the Cleveland Browns fan, I mean the Cleveland Cavaliers fan. That was a casual thing. This, what you got right now, is banana. It's ridiculous. The thing that bothers me about LeBron more than anything is that he's given too much, and he hasn't proved it. He hasn't done it. Yes, he's won a championship. Great. There are people on the end of the bench that win championships. I'm glad with that. I mean, and he led them. I'm not going to say that. But I'm saying that if you look at the hype and the way these people, ESPN should be changed to the LeBron Network, period. I've never seen it before. Even when Jordan was like this, I didn't see it like that to this extent. But I'm just telling you, it's like they give him all this credit and they prop him up. They find the stupidest stats to find just to prove the point that he's good. And yet he's done nothing. And I'm just a person. I'm old school like Jerry. When we were young, you couldn't be in 10 years as a quarterback and then say, okay, this guy is this. He's the greatest thing since sliced bread. You had to do it for a lot longer than that. You know, 9 years, 8 years. You had to like be in games like, okay, I gotta do this. And for me, I just get irritated because I think they just give him too much. That's what I think. I just think they give him too much. But
it's like, you know, what is it? It's what was that movie with Jim Carrey when he was a reality TV show and grew up?
The Truman Show.
Yeah, that's what it's been. It's been a LeBron James show since high school. And like I say, he came out of nowhere. Like, he literally came out of nowhere. 10th grader, nobody knew who he was.
Right.
And at 10th grade,
right.
11th on up, he's been about LeBron. The Truman,
right.
The Truman Show. It's a Truman Show. It's a reality. That's what it is. It's
right.
I mean, he's an amazing athlete. I give it to him.
I'm not beyond giving it to him, but for me, I just feel like, the media is trying to make him more than what he is because you got to remember, for the last 8 years, what have they always said? He's the greatest thing. He's this, he's this, he's this. And the biggest knock is he's not clutch. He ain't won nothing. That was the first thing. And Jerry will tell you, this is a no-chaser show. I say it. I think the NBA gave him the one last year. That's just my opinion. From what I watched and what I saw, the eye test, and from stuff that I've seen, they gave it to him. And now the media is following behind it to prop him up, to keep him. It's like everybody wants him to be good, so they're going to do everything in their power to make him good, to make him be what they want him to be. Because before last year, they were preaching it, but everybody was going like, prove it. I ain't seen it. And so they just went out and made sure it happened, and then now this year they're backing it up. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Honestly, mm-hmm. Last year, did you really want to see San Antonio and Boston?
Honestly, as a coach, as a person who likes basketball, I wanted to see it. I'll give you a great example. It's like we got the guy who runs our station. His name's Victor. Victor likes MMA. MMA, since we're on the radio, MMA is bullshit. It is. It's called, we get in the middle of a ring, and whoever throws the first lucky punch or kick gets knocked out. I like boxing. Boxing
right.
is a skill. You have
right.
you can't just go in there and just fling all over the place, or you'll get your head knocked off. It ain't no luck to it. You got to know how to duck, dodge. You have to have timing, speed. MMA doesn't have that. So what I'm saying to you is, when you say to me, well, would you have rather seen Boston? Honestly, I want to see a fair game, and that's not boring. Let me tell you something. Boston is not boring to me. San Antonio's not Boston. San Antonio's not boring. That's beautiful basketball.
Yeah,
Sharing the basketball, playing fundamental basketball, that's not boring.
I'm with you. And like I say, but basketball, if they would have won a championship, basketball would have hurt so bad.
But I don't understand why. Because
you have no story behind it.
Right.
What was the story of the championship?
Oh,
LeBron knows
right.
KD's flaws.
Right.
That was the worst thing. Good guy versus the bad guy. He played
right.
him. I trained with you all year so I can learn you. So I can learn your moves.
Right.
How does LeBron stay in front of him like that? Because we can prove a fact when Goodman played Melo.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin owned LeBron.
Exactly.
Kevin had LeBron on skates left and right.
Exactly.
But in the playoffs,
right.
LeBron was two steps ahead of Kevin.
Because he knew what he was
going to
do.
Kevin, right there. Knew every move, knew everything.
So you're in agreement with me. Now, I will say this. I never liked the fact of working out with your rival. That's just me. But I grew up in a different time, like Jerry did. We grew up in a different time.
Right.
You know, superstars didn't go work out with superstars and stuff. Now, it's a different generation, and I don't put KD down for it like Skip Bayless does. And all. I don't put him down for that. Do I know that that's detrimental? Sure. But telling Kevin ain't going to change his mind. If he feels like it's not detrimental, that's fine. But it's cold. You have to be cold-blooded. And I think Kevin's learning to be cold-blooded. I think he is. But I'm going to say this, and this is probably controversial, but do I think that it was all that LeBron knew what he was doing? No. Do I think it was some ref calls in there? Hell yeah. Do I think it was a mandate to get him his championship and do whatever they could to try to keep it equal and even and make it favorable to them? Yes. And the reason why I say that is because I've seen this movie before. What happened last year in the playoffs, I've seen before. They did it with Jordan. Did the same thing. When he couldn't get past the Pistons and then he finally got past it, he got so many calls. It was like, dude, you didn't call this last year or the 2 years before. Why are you calling this stuff now? It's the same thing. I've seen this movie before. The NBA has always kind of done this. When they want to promote somebody, they'll promote them. Now, do I think that LeBron – now, if you guys notice, this year LeBron's been getting roughed up. He's been crying about it. That's because the league was protecting his butt. Now they're starting to, now guess what the league says? You got to get the next one on your rest of them on your own. We didn't get you one. Now you got to get the rest on your own. And I believe what Chicago did to them the other night, I believe every team's going to start doing. They're going to start
pushing him. Absolutely.
They're going to start pushing him. They're going to start shoving him. And to be honest with you, I agree with it. You know why? Because LeBron throws his weight around and knocks people down. He takes that off arm and pushes people out the way that they refuse to call. And I just think, like, it's time to get tough with him because he runs over people because he thinks people are scared of him. And it's the same thing. Fear works a lot in the NBA. And I just think you have to take that. You have to – LeBron, if I'm honest with you, LeBron ain't built like that. If you go at LeBron and knock him on his behind and hit him back, I don't think he's going to know how to deal with that. He'll get mad. But he's looking for the refs to bail him out. And I just think that Chicago just turned on the bad boy thing. So, you know, that
he might have lost his player card by getting tackled by Kurt Heinrich. Because Kurt Heinrich definitely wrapped him up and threw him to the ground.
You know what I believe? I believe Kurt Heinrich grabbed him and LeBron fell to the ground thinking he was going to get the call. And he
did. Yeah. And guess what?
That's his fault. Because if I'm 250 pounds and Kurt Heimer gets in my way and grabs me, you going with me.
Exactly.
I'm not falling on the ground.
Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan would just jump over his head.
Exactly.
Right.
I'll give you that.
Mac, we're in overtime. I don't know how far you want to go, but I'm just letting
you
know.
No problem. We're getting ready to get off now. But I just wanted to say, you know, Pettis, it's been great talking
Absolutely.
To you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm going to do my best. I don't know how that's going to work. Well, actually, it does work. I'm going to try to get you back on during the summer, and you got to remind me in the midst of your season as it is, so that way I can have you back on and we can find out, you know, who's leading the standing, who showed up, who's there. You know, I'll certainly talk about it, and I'll try to make visits there also. But I want you to remind me to come back on the show and have you in during, you know, maybe like in – you know, mid-July or right before you in or right in the middle. Just catch me in the middle, and I want to have you back on a Friday night because I know you don't do anything on Friday. And then that way I can have you back on and we can talk about what's going on and promote the league and whatever else you're promoting at that time.
And just let the listeners know how they can get information about the Pettis League and what's going on.
Exactly.
You can go contact us on Twitter, Instagram, at the Pettis League. It's all one word, P-I-T-S League, not two T's.
Okay.
And on Facebook, you can do the same thing at the Pettis League, which is going to be P-I-T-S League on a fan page for Facebook.
And if you guys don't know, you can always hit me on the No Chasers Show with Mac Williams Facebook page or hit me on my page, and I'll send you guys the link. To find the page, but please join the page, join the Pettis League page, follow them on Twitter and Instagram. I also want to say that, Pettis, we want you to join our radio page, which is No Chaser with Mac Williams on Facebook. We like to have our guests try to join our page so that we can see other guests and stuff like that. And please, by all means, man, you know, Pettis, become a listener, man, and, we'd love you to be a friend of the show, and we'd love to have you on again in the middle of the season, so please don't forget to call me. Let me know you want to come back on. And join us in a couple weeks, man. I got P. Rilla on. I got some other guests that I'm going to have on, and if there's any guests you know, you'd love to get in contact with or, you know, want to show up to the game, you know, and I can help you get that done, I'd definitely do it. Not a problem.
Okay, definitely appreciate it.
No problem, man. You've always been a good guy to me. Always been nice, respectful, runs a great league. Please, everybody, on May 28th, be at the Pettis League at Largo High School starting at 10 o'clock, 2 games. You never know who will walk in the door. So, with that being said, Jerry, I appreciate another great week of a show.
Same here.
Robert, appreciate you being here. Next time, maybe we can get Lonnie Harrell on, who is like freaking Obama. You can't find him, can't get him. He's a goat. And you can tell him that. He knows
that. He enjoys fatherhood. He chases his little girl around. He enjoys
it. I know he is. But, you know, the time it takes him to do all that other stuff. No, I'm just messing with you. Nah, but I would love you to come back with him because I know you guys work together. But anyway, I digress. Look, everybody tune in next week, but we'll have another great show, and I want to appreciate all my listeners for coming and tuning in, man, and please tune in next week. Jerry, until next week, I thank you, man. Appreciate it. Pettis, have a great week. Have a great season, man, and I will see you around, brother. And with
all
that,
right,
thank you, man. And with that, we are out.